It's been a long time coming, but we can finally say it. Opening day is here. We're going to take a look at the Yankees 30-man roster on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Happy opening day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty, and I am so excited to be on the air today. A little bit delayed as to what we told you earlier in the week, but as we all know, the Yankees waited till last minute to release their opening day lineup and roster, as we probably figured due to DJ LeMahieu's status, but we're going to break it all down for you and look ahead to the opening series against the Washington Nationals. It is amazing to think that live sports are back, and we've had a long struggle since the last time we saw the Bronx Bombers on the field. It was a tough way to end the 2019 season the way it did. And as the offseason went on, the excitement grew big because the Yankees brought in the biggest fish on the open market, and that's Gerrit Cole. And Cole will finally make his anticipated Yankees regular season debut tonight on the mound. And it's exciting to think about. And we're going to get into Cole in just a little bit. But we're going to take a look at the Yankees 30-man roster. It's a little bit different than what I projected a couple of weeks back for Bronx Pinstripes and on our show, but nonetheless, the roster looks good. The roster looks pretty deep, and I'm ready to rock and roll. Hope you guys are too. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, and also at my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We are also available on Instagram. Go to Delahanty Media for more news and information regarding both of our podcasts that we've currently put on the air. Now, let's get right into the thick of things here, shall we? And as you all know, the roster's expanded to 30 men, considering the fact of what we're dealing with. So teams have the ability to carry 30 guys for the first 2 weeks of the season. And it's a really nice addition for the team in Major League Baseball because it allows you to have some more flexibility, you know. Guys aren't necessarily ready to throw 100, 110 pitches, or there might be some guys that aren't ready to play 7 or 8 innings in a field on a given day. So having the extra flexibility is definitely something that will benefit everybody involved. Now, when I did my breakdown, I projected that the Yankees were going to take a couple of more pitchers than they did hitters, and here's why. Like I said a few minutes ago, your pitchers may not be ready to go 6 or 7 innings, so you may need to rely on that bullpen. And knowing the Yankees' strength in the bullpen, I figured that they were going to carry a lot of arms, especially early on. Well, that's just not the case. The way the roster breaks down, the Yankees are carrying 17 position players on the active roster. They'll have 13 pitchers to choose from, and we're going to break down a little bit more as to why that is and how certain players do figure into the equation. Now, it's important to remind you, Luis Sessa and Aroldis Chapman, both on the COVID-19 injured list. It looks like they'll be back in some way, shape, or form in the near future. Chapman has to test negative first in regards to the COVID-19 testing, but Sessa's been back with the team. He's been throwing, so it appears that he'll be back within the next couple of weeks, hopefully. But I want to start off with the position players, and I projected that they would take 2 catchers, and obviously Sanchez and Higashioka. They decided to carry 3, those 2 that I just named, and veteran Chris Iannetta. That's a nice move. I think it's smart, gives them a little flexibility. They may not want Sanchez catching every day, gives them a veteran presence to add to the mix. At least for the first 2 weeks, you would assume that they're going to carry all 3 catchers. Then you dive into the infield crew, and they, as I like to characterize them as, you have 8 infielders on the roster, and Miguel Andujar is the first one. He is a guy that I could see playing a little outfield, but the way he hits, he's going to factor into the lineup some way, shape, or form. Thairo Estrada, a really nice story. Summer camp MVP guy, really turned heads, really made it hard for the Yankees to keep him off the roster, and as you can see, he earned his spot, at least for the first couple of weeks. Mike Ford, another guy, hit a moonshot in the team's final exhibition game. He's a left-handed power bat at the first base position that, who knows, maybe you could see some pitch hitting opportunities or maybe even get some time at first to spell Luke Voit, especially early on in the year when you're trying to keep guys fresh and healthy. Then you go down the list, you have DJ LeMahieu, Who knows if LeMahieu's going to play on opening night, but he's back on the active roster, seems to be ready to go. LeMahieu, we could talk about him for another hour and a half about how valuable he is. He's a guy that the Yankees desperately need to be productive this year, and I'm sure DJ is going to be DJ like normal. And then you continue down the list. You have Gleyber Torres. Gleyber good, going to start the year at short. We all know about Gleyber. I'm not going to dwell on him. Gio Urshela, he's another guy, great defensive player, a third, should be the starting third baseman, get a lot of the reps there. And then Luke Voit starting first, and Tyler Dean Wade, the backup infielder, very nice glove, very good speed. He's going to factor in eventually. You're going to get an extra inning game where they're going to have a chance to win a game, and he's going to go on second base and make a difference. So of those guys, all quality guys to make the roster, but as time goes on and you cut the roster down, you got to add some of the guys that we're going to talk about later. There are room for some casualties from this group. And then you'll have your six outfield options. Clint Frazier is the first one, if you're going in alphabetical order. And I didn't think Frazier was going to make the team. I thought he was going to be a last cut, but he earns a spot on the team. Great bat speed. Not great defensively, but he's a guy that offense is going to find him a spot. Brett Gardner, the veteran, love having Gardner around. He is that guy that he's just consistent. You know what to expect from him. You know he's going to come out every given day and give you 100%. He's a great guy to have, especially in the clubhouse. Aaron Hicks, who would have thought that he would have Tommy John surgery and be back for opening day? Yeah, the pandemic helped him, but he's back and ready to go. I expect to see Hicks a couple times a week. I don't think the Yankees rush him in to the thick of things right away, but it's good to see Hicksy back. Aaron Judge, all rise. Hopefully he stays healthy. He stays healthy. He's going to have a monster year. I'm calling it now. You could quote it here. Giancarlo Stanton, you could call him an outfielder. He's more of a DH at this point. The Yankees need this dude to stay healthy. He is a vital, I mean vital part of the lineup. Yeah, he strikes out a lot. I get that. But when he connects, that ball goes. We need Stanton ready to rock and roll. And then another guy, I love this guy. I'm starting to really grow on me, and that's Mike Tauchman, man. Defensively, he's great. He just seems like a really good clubhouse guy, too. When the Yankees initially made that trade, I didn't know what to expect from Tauchman, obviously. Didn't really know much about him, but over the year, he was so valuable to this club. And hopefully, he continues to contribute like he did last year, because they'll be in a good spot if they have a handful of outfielders they can choose upon on a given day to give some flexibility for manager Aaron Boone. Now, let's shift over to the pitchers. We covered the 17 offensive players that they decided to carry with them. And there really shouldn't be many surprises. The biggest surprise to me is in the form of Luis Avilan. I never expected him to make the team. He's a veteran lefty arm, a 31-year-old. Nothing against him, but I didn't realize how much this guy has been used over the last couple of years. If you go back to 2017, he made 61 appearances for the Dodgers. Had a really nice year for them. And then the year after, spent part of the year with Chicago, the White Sox, and part of the year with Philly, made 70 appearances. So this is a guy that has seen a lot of big league action as a left-hander. That's valuable, especially with the new rule that you have to face more than three batters, or at the minimum three batters. He's a guy that I think could really help the Yankees bullpen. You obviously have your Zach Britton. You have some lefties you can rely on, but it doesn't hurt to have an extra lefty arm, especially early in the year. I like having him on the roster. I didn't really know much about him until I did some research, like I said. So now I'm not surprised that he made the roster. When they announced it, or they announced that his contract was purchased, I was a little bit puzzled by it, thinking that they may use that spot for a different arm out of the bullpen. And then you continue on. We'll stick with the relievers to start. You have Zach Britton, Chad Green, David Hale, Ben Heller, another guy who the Yankees seem very high on. He'll get a shot right away. Jonathan Holder, Tommy Canley, Jonathan Loaisiga, Adam Ottavino, and I saved them for last, Michael King. Michael King was very impressive during summer camp and spring training. A lot of people thought that Clark Schmidt was going to make the roster, but the Yankees decided to let him develop a little more. Aaron Boone says that Schmidt is definitely going to make an impact at some point this year. It wouldn't be a surprise. So I think that this is a way to not only control service time, but to get him a little more work and not throw him right into the fire. And King made his debut last year. I think he's a guy that has a lot of upside, a lot of possibilities in terms of stuff. He seems to be on track to pitch in Game 3 of the season when the Yankees use a bullpen game. He might start that game. He might come out of the bullpen. But regardless, this kid has nice stuff. If he shows flashes of excellence or even good stuff early on, I think he sticks. I think he's going to find a way to stay on this roster long term. If not, the Yankees still seem high on him. He's got a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and he should be around for a long time. Now, right now, the Yankees only have three starting pitchers on the active roster. Obviously, Gerrit Cole, we're going to talk about him later on in the show. Jay Happ, who is going to start game four of the year. I know I'm jumping a little bit, but it is what it is. And James Paxton will start game two against the Washington Nationals. Now, in terms of three starting pitchers, you may say to yourself, where's Jordan Montgomery? And we all know the situation with Tanaka. Now, Tanaka's scheduled to probably pitch somewhere around July 29th to July 31st. If it all goes well, it's good to see him back on the mound facing hitters. And for Montgomery, the Yankees kept him off the roster basically because they're not going to use a fifth starter early on in the year. They can go through the rotation once, and Cole can make two starts, and then they could bring Montgomery up and he can rejoin the rotation. Obviously, he's in play this year for this Yankee team. He looked really good. We talked about it on our last show against the Mets in the exhibition game. And if he pitches like that out of the fifth spot in the rotation, the Yankees are in really good shape, man. He looked that good. He'll be back up quickly. I picked him up in my fantasy league. I hope I don't jinx him. If I see him start to struggle, I will cut him just so I don't jinx the poor guy. But again, they will make roster adjustments early on, so this roster necessarily isn't set in stone. And let's remember, after 2 weeks, the roster goes down to 28 players. And after a month, it goes down to the active 26-man roster that we projected to start the season. So you're going to see subtractions from this roster. You're going to see at least four guys go down. And then you have to make room for Tanaka. You have to make room for Montgomery. You have to make room for Chapman and Sessa. That's four guys right there you got to make room for. So there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. So to see that they have 17 bats right now is something that is going to benefit them for the now time. Because what they'll probably end up doing is moving guys in and out. They're probably going to mix and match on certain days to give guys days off. Aaron Judge's health is still a question. You know, even though he's healthy now, you don't want to lose the big fella long term. So you may give him a day off and throw a Clint Frazier into the outfield. Or give Mike Tauchman a start out there. You have endless possibilities. And then you have to figure out ways to get Andujar in the lineup. So expect the Yankees to not have a set lineup, at least for the foreseeable future, because they want to get everybody ready to go to be a 9 full inning player, especially the starters, and B, you want to keep everybody fresh, because we saw last year how the injuries really impacted them, where they had to go deep into the depth. So right now, my take on the roster is I like it. I personally didn't have any big surprises with it. Montgomery was probably the biggest surprise, but after you think about it, it makes a ton of sense why he's not on the roster. You save an extra spot, you add a bullpen arm to give them some flexibility in game one and two and even three to start the year. And then you add some guys that really earned their spot in summer camp. Let's face it, the New York Yankees, and I hate to be biased, but you know that I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm going to be completely honest. I think the Yankees have the best depth in terms of major league talent in all of baseball. I don't think a team in any way, shape, or form can match their depth from, say, we'll go 1 to possibly 50. They probably have 50 guys right now that can impact at the big league level. You know, when you have hard decisions like keeping a Clark Schmidt in the minor leagues or keeping a veteran guy like Matt Duffy, who really didn't impress me at all during summer camp, but is still a guy that has a lot of playoff experience, a lot of valuable experience in the National League. You know, when you can make those decisions tough, and they're good decisions to have to make because it shows how much talent and how special your roster is. So I like how they constructed it. I think Aaron Boone and company have a plan how they're going to maneuver forward, but I think that time is only going to tell how that's going to be executed. You don't know how an Aaron Hicks is going to feel on any given day coming so close off of Tommy John surgery. Giancarlo Stanton's a big question mark. You're trying to keep everybody fresh, trying to keep everybody healthy, and also in the same token productive, because a 60-game sprint every single game matters. And I think this year is going to be a little different. It's going to really change the way we think about how games are played and how teams use their best bullpen arms, or how teams maybe limit, or who knows, maybe increase in some cases days off, depending on the circumstances. So time's only going to tell. But roster-wise, I think the Yankees are in good shape. Once they get Tanaka and Montgomery and Chapman back and they get the full band back together, hopefully they're all healthy and ready to rock and roll, because it'll be definitely exciting to watch. Now, let me take you back to December 18th, 2019. The Yankees were coming off a brutal loss in the ALCS to the Houston Astros, and another year where the Yankees fell just short of getting back to the World Series. So what does Brian Cashman and company do? They go out and they get their white whale. And they sign Gerrit Cole to a monster 9-year deal worth $324 million, making Cole the highest paid pitcher on the planet and giving him a chance to fulfill a lifelong dream of pitching for his favorite team, the New York Yankees. Now, as time went on, we inched closer to spring training. We all thought we're going to see Gerrit Cole right away on opening day, and we're going to see him dominating the way he dominated back in Houston. It was an exciting time. But then the world hit, and we faced this pandemic we never hit before, and that had to be pushed to the side. But now, months after, we're finally ready to see Gerrit Cole take the mound as a New York Yankee, and it feels surreal to say it, but now it is becoming a true reality. Cole has been nothing but an asset to this team since he arrived in the Bronx. He's been fantastic not only for himself, but with the other pitchers on the staff and with his teammates. He's a nerd of the game, and I say that in the utmost respect. He loves diving into information, talking to other pitchers, learning about the craft, working hard, tremendously hard, to get better on a daily basis. And he is what this team needs to get over the hump to get World Series number 28. And now, mind you, not all big contracts pan out. We know that in certain situations, guys don't fit in certain situations or don't make it happen and slack off in production. But as I'm sitting here today, and you can't predict injuries, you can't predict the future, I firmly, truly believe that Gerrit Cole is going to be like CC Sabathia was during his tenure in the Bronx. I think that as time goes on, Cole is not only going to be productive on the mound, but he's going to be an asset, not only for the Yankees organization, but for the New York, New Jersey community. I think he's that stellar of a person, that stellar of an athlete, and I, for one, am truly, truly excited to see him take the mound. When he had his press conference, and I'll never forget it, when he said, "Pressure is a privilege," that stood out to me. Why? Because you're coming to the pressure cooker of sports. You are in the biggest stage in all of professional sports, pitching for the New York Yankees. Pressure is always there. The media is always there. The fans are always there. He's ready for the challenge. He's not shying away from it. He's embracing it. And to me, not many pitchers could do that. Not many players want to have that responsibility on their shoulders. But there he is, embracing it, knowing his role, knowing that he has to live up to that big contract, knowing what he has to do to win, having that desire to win. It just fires you up from within. So as the Gerrit Cole era begins in New York, I just want to remind everybody, regardless of what he does in his start on opening day, or regardless of one or two possible bad starts that he has down the road, remember this guy is human. I think that is something that we all have to remember, because down the road, there might be a start where he doesn't have his best stuff and he might have a tough day, and everybody has it. But we have to make sure that you don't lose sight of the fact that this guy is the best pitcher on the planet in my eyes. You know, you could throw DeGrom up there, Verlander, we could get into it all you want. But as time is going on, this guy is showing his dominance throughout the game. And we have him on our side now. The side that we've been trying to get him on since his days at UCLA. Now it's a reality. Enjoy it, Yankees fans. And hopefully, he's the one to bring us title number 28 in the Bronx. And hopefully, down the road, many more titles to follow. Now, I know you're all excited for opening day, and I appreciate you listening into the show. As I posted on our social media feed earlier in the week, we have reached 20,000 downloads in 2020 alone. To me, that's insane. You know, this is something that I started as a hobby of mine. You know, I went to school for communications. I ended up changing career paths. It's funny how life changes on you. But I never wanted to lose that sight of being able to talk and be passionate about sports the way that I've always been. It's the second nature to me. So having this show and being able to do this on a daily basis or a weekly basis truly means the world to me. And I appreciate all of you taking time to tune into the podcast and supporting me and everything. It means the world to me. And I'm not going to get emotional over this, but I just had to thank you all. And just from the bottom of my heart, just know how much it means to me. And I hope that you continue to follow us and subscribe, rate, and review the show. As we get live baseball back, I'm excited to talk about all things Yankees baseball. And I hope that you join in on my conversation. As I kind of give a wrap up to today's show, and I can't sit still, I'm a little anxious, as you could probably tell, I want to just give a state of the 2020 Yankees. And I hope that when I look back on this in a couple of months when we do a show, I could say that I was somewhat right about what was going to happen. First and foremost, I think this is the year 28 comes to the Bronx. It's not your typical season. It's not your, you know, normal 162-game slate in playoffs. We don't know how the playoffs are even going to look at this point. They're saying they're going to expand them possibly. But there are so many opportunities and so many possibilities out there for the taking. In a 60-game season, anybody has a chance. Even the Marlins and the Orioles, I know you're going to give me slack for that, but they do have a chance. If you get hot at the right time and you get your team chemistry going, you're in a good spot. A 5-7-game slide where you go, you know, 1-4 or 2-5 is going to hurt you down the stretch. There's not much wiggle room. So you have to come out of the gate ready to go. And I think this Yankees team personally has it. I think they have the fire and desire. And you know what the other thing is? I think that they have it because of the past. The guys that have been here for the last couple of years and have been second fiddle to the Astros, they feel it. The guys who were there with the cheating allegations, they know it. These guys want to right the ship. They want to make things right in the world. They want to get the Yankees back on top. And that desire is there. The lineup is star-studded. The pitching staff, loaded. The bullpen, the best in the game. This team has the potential to be great and find greatness over a long period of time. Now, obviously, in professional sports, nothing is handed to you. Nothing is given to you. At the end of the day, they are going to fight for everything they earn. And let me tell you, I personally think this team will get it done. The talent's there. Hopefully, everybody stays healthy. You wish for good health among baseball, obviously, because COVID-19 is something that's affecting everybody. You hope that nobody comes down with it that impacts. The Nationals lost Juan Soto, and that's their star player. That's a tough break. You hope that doesn't happen to anybody, even your division rivals, even the biggest rivals you have. You hope everybody stays healthy. You hope for an exciting year, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think that there is so much difference in the game at this point, and we've all waited so long, like I mentioned earlier, about having to wait for the season to start and getting things going again. Yeah, it's going to stink not being able to walk into Yankee Stadium and watch a game and cheer at the top of your lungs when Aaron Judge goes yard. But for the time being, we have to make the adjustments and enjoy the games from home. I'll be listening to a lot of Michael Kay and Ryan Rucco and David Cohn, Paul O'Neill. Heck, John Sterling and Susan Wolman are going to get a lot of my attention too. But it's going to be different. It's going to be weird, obviously. But the goal never changes. World Series or bust. And there's been a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of speculation around the league about who's the best team in the league, who's going to end up on top at the end of the year. Only time will tell. And I'm excited to see where the Bronx Bombers end up in 2020. Now, as we look ahead to 2020, I want you guys to know I'm going to be here. Ups and downs, highs or lows, I'll be talking Yankees baseball. I have a lot to say. And I'm sure you guys have a lot to say too. So continue to follow the podcast, continue to listen in, and we can rant or be excited or you name it. Whatever we want to talk about with the Yankees, I'm sure there'll be a great discussion to be had. So here's to the 2020 Major League Baseball season. The season we weren't sure we were going to get. May it bring us happiness, a lot of excitement, and at the end of the day, a New York Yankees World Series Championship. Remember to follow us on Twitter at @Nick_Delahanty. That's my personal account, at @PinstripeTalkND, our Twitter feed for the show, at Pinstripe Talk Podcast on Facebook. Again, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it. Our show is there available for you. We hope you take the time to not only listen to the show, but share the show with your friends. Let's expand this Yankees Nation, people. Let's expand and grow upon our conversation. Until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty. And as you know, I'm excited for opening day. Happy opening day, everybody. I wish the best for the New York Yankees and everybody involved. And hopefully at the end of the day, everybody's looking up at the World Series champion Yankees. As always, wear those pinstripes. Get them on. I got my Aaron Judge pinstripe jersey on, my Gerrit Cole t-shirt jersey on. And of course, I'm rocking the Yankees fitted hat as always, because this is a day that I've truly been waiting for. And I'm sure you guys are with me there. So until next time, let's go Yankees. I will talk to you soon. And as always, stay safe and stay healthy. Take care.